Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Game over, man.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network, here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks fall to the Toronto Maple Leafs 5-2 upon their arrival from the quick one-off in Columbus. First home game in a while here for Chicago. Man, no sad organ music. Frank Pelico got a nice send-off here. 33 years as the Blackhawks organist. Tonight was his last game here at the United Center. Unfortunately, we don't even get to hear any music. That's just it.
That's it. It's over. That's it. It's done.
Man.
What a great career, though, for Frank Pelico. I mean, 33 years. Been around for a long time. Huge, huge hockey fan, and just loves the Blackhawks.
Love it. He is synonymous here with the in-arena experience for the Blackhawks fans. So wish Frank the best in retirement. Bring in Troy Murray here. Troy, what's offsides? I mean, it was one of those things where we saw that not that this played any impact in the actual game, but I was showing you the replay. I think this is what they were, I know this is what you're looking at, but we, in real time, we were trying to figure it out because we thought it was clearly offsides when you're looking at it. So I think what's happening here is John Tavares takes the puck, and the second he, I think they're saying he lifted the puck off of the stick right when the puck entered the offensive zone. So the second the puck retouches his stick is when Nylander tags up. The problem, by definition, I guess you could say it's the right call. The problem is there's no way he's intentionally doing that, right?
Well, the thing is my beef with this is if it's the other way around, saying that he's in possession, he has possession of the puck.
Right.
He's in possession of the puck.
Yeah, but, yeah, that's fair, even though it's not on his stick.
Yeah, but they're saying, so you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's like,
yeah.
Well, so you can't have it one way and then not the other way. There's just such a gray area in that, and I know the coaching staff is going to go, you know, I don't know what offside is, and we've heard so many coaches around the NHL complain about this rule and, you know, whether they have possession, whether they don't. The gist of the rule when it was put in, and actually goes back, I think, to when the Blackhawks were playing the LA Kings, and LA was about 3 feet offside, but it went uncalled, and they said, well, you know, we got to have a review for this. It's there to catch the blatant offsides that don't get picked up by the linesman. And the linesmen have a tough job. I mean, the game's going fast, and you've got bodies crossing in front of you, so they're going to miss some things. But now the trickle-down effect is, what is the letter of the rule? And I don't think anybody really understands exactly how it is supposed to be interpreted. And, you know, I guarantee you, and, you know, and again, you said it really didn't have a factor in the outcome of this game. The Hawks were either going to be down two or down three. But at the same time, I think the coaching staff and Sorensen will be asked that question, and he's just going to go, well, I don't know what offside is anymore.
Well, I'm curious to see if the Blackhawks had gotten word from their video coaches, Matt Meacham and Adam Gill, that they felt it was a challengeable play, or if the coaching staff decided to roll the dice on it.
Well, if I'm Matt Meacham and Adam Gill, I'm going offside.
Right, because the video coaches study every single challenge across the league. So I want to say too, the Blackhawks were in a situation earlier in the year. What was that weird one that we were like, I don't know what a challenge was. Was it the Winnipeg Jets or the Vancouver Canucks? I think it was. I don't remember exactly the play, but I think it's had something to do with something similar where you're like, well, it wasn't intentional, but technically by the rule, it's the right call. But you brought up a good point. You can't have it both ways where that's technically a possession play in other instances, but on this one exactly.
They're saying that he didn't have possession of this puck, even though it's not on his stick, but he's in control of it. I mean, that's the reverse of
right.
No.
Yeah, and so they're waiting for Tavares to regain possession of the puck, or not regain possession, but for the puck to actually touch his stick again. And as soon as that happens, William Nylander's skate is on the blue line. But Tavares, he's not waiting for William Nylander there's no way. He's just crossing over, doing what, and it just happened to be.
He's basically in the middle of a stick handle move as he crosses the blue line there. I mean, we could argue this. But I got dinner reservations too. You know, me and Eric Furlatt.
We got no.
I am giving you that little side eye look right now. No, I'm just kidding. I got nowhere to go except Utah tomorrow. But it's frustrating, I think, for everybody because, and again, it's just not on this particular play. I mean, I watch a lot of the games and I see a lot of the games and I wouldn't say I study these rules, but I want to have a better understanding of it. And yet, you know, in this situation, there's going to be an explanation, and it's a lot of pressure on the linesman to try and figure out. In some ways, it's kind of a discretionary call, and it's up to the linesman to figure out whether he has possession, whether he doesn't have possession. He certainly had possession of the puck, even though it's not on his stick.
Right.
And then there's other times where you say, well, he doesn't, or he has possession, and it's not on his stick as well. So, I don't know.
And to kind of put a bow on it is the NHL is coming off such a successful Four Nations where they're gaining new fans. And imagine if you're watching this game, or if this was a nationally televised game between two playoff contenders, and something like this is being broken down, and you're a casual fan, and you're like, I don't understand. This looks blatant offsides to me. And not that that's going to deter the fan away, but you want the rules to be very clear cut and dry, if you can. And so
you could have it cut and dry, they would.
Right.
They don't want this. They don't want this delay in the game. But just the way it's kind of come to fruition with some of these rules that are interpreted and are different than. Couldn't be called differently from one game to the other, from one officiating crew to the next. Nobody knows.
Right.
But you'd hate to that play right there be the difference in whether you make the playoffs, whether you move on in the playoffs. You want a little bit more definitive explanations of how this is going to work. But
right.
It's a gray area.
All right, so the Hawks fall 5-2. Overall, it didn't have a bearing on the result. Obviously, we can both agree. It was more so just the frustration of
us up here.
Well, it's funny because we were watching and we were like, oh, that's clearly offsides. And then like the longer they were looking at it, the more nervous we were getting. It's like,
well,
all right, what are we missing?
I'm looking down here. I mean, we didn't have another look on they never did show, I don't think, another replay on the TV monitor in our booth or on the Jumbotron, but the quick look was just like, oh, well, that's offside.
Yeah.
Like, no doubt about it. And then as we're watching down there, it's just like, well, what's the problem here? And then all of a sudden, okay, now I know where we're going with this.
Right.
And I don't like where it's going.
Thoughts on the overall game? Thought the Hawks had a really strong first period, left that period up 1-0. They record the first 6 shots on goal of the hockey game, but Toronto tilted the ice in their favor in the second.
They did, and that's where the Hawks have struggled the last couple seasons. They just don't have the overall depth and the overall talent to play against some of the better teams that when they pick up their play, if a team with more skill matches the intensity and the competitiveness of the Blackhawks, they're going to have a better chance to win because they have higher skill. And that's kind of what you see here in a lot of these games. The Hawks, they don't stop trying, but the other team lifts their game to a higher level, and the Hawks have trouble getting to that point. And, you're going through a rebuild, and it's tough, it's frustrating. But when you see a performance by Frank Nazar, who I thought was excellent in this game, Bertuzzi, the Maple Leaf had a strong game, a couple assists as well. You know, those are the things you want to look at. You want to see how these young guys, who are going to be the core group of players moving forward, how they're progressing. And I love what we're seeing from Nazar. So, you know, you want to win games. You want to be in a position to have that mentality that you're trying to develop, that culture inside the room that's a winning culture. But it's easier said than done to get to that point. And there's going to be some frustrating moments like in this game today. But, you know, the second period was the difference. Toronto able to get that separation with the three goals. Great response by Kurashev on a play by Nazar with 6 seconds to go to get them in a position where they're within one shot. And unfortunately, the next shot that went in either the net was an empty netter by the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I thought that late goal by Chicago in the second with 6.2 seconds left, Nazar to Kurashev, I thought that was going to give the Blackhawks some juice going into the third. And it, for a little bit, it did. Unfortunately, the Blackhawks just weren't able to capitalize on it by converting on the chances that they did get.
Yeah, and if you look at it, they only had 7 shots on goal, and I think only 3 shots in the first 12 minutes of the third period. So, you know, they need to be better in that area. Just give Toronto credit. They shut it down pretty good. They didn't give the Blackhawks too many odd man opportunities or breakdown in their own end of the ice. And I thought the Hawks worked hard in the third period, but you got to give credit to, you know, the opposition team every now and then. They did an excellent job. And if you're Craig Berube, you're probably saying, hey, you know, we didn't have a great first period, but we liked the response that we did, and then we shut it down in the third period. So that's what their side of the story is going to be. And for the Blackhawks side of the story, it's just like, you know what, here we go again. I mean, a good period, but we don't have that 60-minute consistency that needs to be there.
Something I thought was interesting, when we got the starting lineups, Toronto threw out their first line, their big guns of Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, Matthew Nyes. Chicago counters with the Connor Bedard line. And we've seen Anders Sorensen give Bedard some of these elite matchups. Like when they played Edmonton, he made it a point to put Bedard on Connor McDavid. And it wasn't Bedard's best night. I think he was held to 0 shot attempts in the first 2 periods. Ended up getting a couple in the third. It was a -3 rating. -2 if you really exclude the empty netter. But what are your thoughts on Sorensen giving Bedard that responsibility and helping him work through that as he tries to take that next step in the NHL?
It's not just a one-sided decision here. I know that Anders has talked to Bedard about, do you want this matchup?
Right.
And he embraces it. He goes, yeah, I want to play against Matthews. I want to play against McDavid. He wants to play against the top guys on the opposition team. The only way he's going to get better is to play against those guys, to understand how hard it is to match up against the elite players in the NHL. So I give Connor a lot of credit that he wants to be put in that position. And in tonight's game against the third best faceoff team in the NHL, Bedard was 6 for 6 and 6. So, I mean, he's getting much better. He's not dominating in the faceoff circles by any stretch of the imagination, but when he came into the game, he's at 35%. He was 50%, I think, in the game last night. He's in that position again tonight. So good for him to really focus on some of the areas that he needs to improve on as he moves forward with his career.
Yeah, it's nice to see him improve in the faceoff department because, I mean, there was a stretch, right? He was statistically, I think, the worst faceoff man in the NHL. And for him, over the last several games, it's starting to become a larger body of work, not just the last three games.
Yeah, anybody can have one good game in the faceoff circle, but you're right. I mean, when you look at the bigger picture, he's been more consistent. And, you know, he lost one draw to Matthews that ended up quickly in the back of the net. But at the same time, overall, he's getting along a lot stronger there. And when I was doing the TV yesterday, you know, you kind of have to try and find some things that you want to break down a little bit and show in a replay. And a couple times in the game, I asked Sean Day, who runs the production for the TV side of it, I said, you know, mark this shift. And it was because Bedard held his own position in his own end of the ice, didn't run around. He was supporting the defenseman in the exact right way. And you could see that there was a conscious effort in his mind of what he was supposed to be doing in his own end of the ice. And the more that happens, the more that it'll become instinctive, and he won't have to be thinking about it, because a lot of times in the game of hockey, because it's so quick, when you're thinking, it's too late. You want to be proactive. You want to be on top of things. But when you have things in your mind and then you're reacting to those thoughts, then that's when you're a step behind. And Bedard is working on those areas right now, and then all of a sudden it's going to become instinctive about how he needs to play in his own end of the ice how he gets better in the faceoff circles, when he gets more familiar with the linesmen, with the opposition, and what they need to do. And he's a guy that studies the game. He's a student of the game. Patrick Kane was a big student of the game. And it's only going to make him better in the long run.
So the fourth line for Chicago last night against Columbus was probably the best line that the Blackhawks had going, of Lucas Reichel, Craig Smith, Pat Maroon. They really struggled in this game, particularly against the Domi and Robertson line. And Lucas Reichel didn't take a shift in the third period, and it wasn't until, I think it was midway through the second, is when he didn't see the ice again. So clearly Sorensen sending a message, not just to him, but the entire team about moving forward, performance-based reasons about, because he was still on the bench. It wasn't injury-related.
Yeah, and I, you know, you'd have to break it down and see a little bit more of what was going on with Reichel's game in this one. But I think if you're the head coach, and if you're an interim head coach, like Anders is, you have to do it your way, and you can't, you know, defer it to what everybody else thinks you should be doing or what can happen. And if you're on the bench, and the coaches have that gut feeling on players who are playing well, players that are hot, you know, who do you want to get out there, because he might have, you know, some of the best chances that you had in the game. But you have that gut feeling, and maybe it just wasn't working with Reichel. I'm not going to sit here and try and analyze it. I didn't see enough of it. He only played 7.5 minutes, so, you know, maybe some other factors in there that the coaching staff could see that played into the decision to not play him in the third period. But again, you're also trying to, if you look at Bedard's numbers, you're trying to get your top offensive guy out there on the ice as much as possible. And Bedard almost played 21 minutes in the game. And he played over 23 minutes in the game last night, which was a team high, not only a high for the forwards, because normally you have a guy like Seth Jones taking a lot of ice time out there, and he was over 23 in this one. But it's just one of those situations that, you know, Reichel's going to have to, you know, bear down. And, you know, Kurashev, I thought that line with Kurashev, Nazar, and Bertuzzi, that was the best line they had on the ice. So, you know, for Kurashev to score his fifth goal of the season, and I wrote down in my notes that you need a little more from him, and that's a big plus for him, you know, in that line that played well in this game against a tough team.
Let's get to a positive. Teuvo Teravainen, 500 career NHL points. We're getting old. I feel like he broke into the NHL like it was yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of carved out a real nice career. You know, he's got his name on the Stanley Cup and went down and had a bunch of good years in Carolina and comes back here. And he's put up some good numbers this year. And 500 career points, nothing to laugh at. That's a pretty good accomplishment and good for him. Congratulations, well-deserved, well-earned, and, you know, and just he's only 30 years old, so he's got a lot left in the tank.
You probably called his first point, too, right?
Yeah, John and I would have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Nice career for...
That was it, 15?
15,
first
yeah.
Year? When they won the cup,
yeah,
in 15?
15. I'm almost positive it was 14-15, because I remember it being a big deal when he did get called up. And then, obviously, he was on that checking role with Patrick Sharp. And who was the other one? Was it... I was going to say Bolin, but no, it's not him. He wasn't on the... I don't know. But, yeah, he's really carved out a nice career here for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, he's a smart player. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, didn't play the defensive game all that well at the beginning. Now, all of a sudden, he's out there killing penalties. You use him in defensive situations, very reliable in what he needs to do. And John's showing me down here at 14-15 was his first point, yeah. Played three games in 13-14, but no points in that one. So, yeah, we were calling those games back in the day.
We've had a really good stretch of hockey the last few months where we've gotten some favorable start times. And this coming road trip, we're back on the late ones, starting in Utah. 8 o'clock, then Vegas, and then Anaheim. Actually, oh, yeah, Anaheim's a late one, right? Or is that an afternoon game?
It's a later game.
Yeah.
It's a later game because the team's going to stay overnight and come back the next day.
Yep, that's right. So it's going to be a long
road
trip.
And rumor has it you're just going to kind of pop into Vegas and pop out.
Pop into Vegas, pop out, Got an early flight Wednesday morning. We're doing a show with Circa Sports Illinois.
So are you going to go straight from the casino to the airport?
Are you talking about on Friday morning or on Wednesday?
Well, when do you get in there? On Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Yeah, and when do you leave? I don't care when you get
Friday,
there.
Friday,
it's when you leave.
Friday morning.
It's not what you do before you get to Vegas. It's what you do in Vegas.
I'll explain
it to you.
I will be responsible with my wallet. I'm not really much of a gambler anyway, unless you make me one. You're trying to make me one.
Well, we leave after Vegas. We take off. We go to Anaheim.
Oh,
so you're,
right.
You'll be on your own.
Yeah, no, I'll be in bed.
I'll point you in the right direction. I got a couple spots.
Got Troy's hot spots. All right, great stuff. Good to have you back in the seat. That was tough keeping your seat warm last game. I don't think I succeeded very well, but John carried me. It's okay.
Well, he's the backbone of the broadcast.
I heard you did well on TV. Had a couple hairs out of place, but you were good nonetheless.
Why would you go there? What? You know, we just had a nice moment.
You were poking. You were poking at Panger. I feel like I gotta.
Well, of course I gotta do that.
I have to stand up for Panger now too. Poke some fun at you because he doesn't get the opportunity.
Oh, I thought you already were.
All right, we got some sound rolling in from the Blackhawks locker room. We'll hear what they had to say about this 5-2 loss on the other side of the break.
Can I hang around and see what Andrew says about the?
Sure.
The call?
Yeah, if you want.
Right, I'm going to stick around.
I don't know if Anders has spoken yet, but I'm sure he's going to be speaking in the near future. So maybe we'll have it on the other side. So stick around. You want to react to it?
Well, I want to hear it. I want to hear something.
All right, perfect. All right.
I don't want to be the only one confused.
All right, the Blackhawks postgame show is going to roll on after this on 720 WGN.
Bedard, top of the left wing circle, now with 17. Back to the left point, Teravainen, put it to the slot, and Otto fires, and then hit Bertuzzi, in front, rebound, they score! Teravainen! Teemu Teravainen was moving toward the Leaf goal as that puck became available. Wall had moved to his left to make a save on a previous shot, and left the net open. Teemu didn't miss. Turbo time, it's 1-0 Hawks.
Back here on the Blackhawks postgame show, Hawks fall to the Toronto Maple Leafs 5-2 at the United Center. That was Teemu Teravainen's 500th career NHL point. He also finished the game with 9 shot attempts, which I believe led all skaters as I'm scanning this. Yep, led all skaters. 3 of them hit the net, 5 of them were blocked, though. One of them missed the net. So nice to see Teravainen produce. That was his 13th goal of the season. Prior to the break, Teravainen was on a three-game streak where he had recorded multi-point games in 3 straight. Didn't perform well in the Four Nations tournament. Ended up was a scratch for the final game. I think part of that might have been, I feel like he was probably dealing with something, because I know in the weeks leading up to the Four Nations tournament, Teravainen was taking some maintenance days at practice. So nice to see him back in the goal column against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Teravainen is one of the players that spoke to the media just a little bit ago. Let's listen in and hear what he had to say about this 5-2 loss to Toronto.
2 tough performances coming out of the break here. What's not going right?
Yeah, that's disappointing. After a break, need to come back and play some good hockey, and now just a couple of tough losses, back-to-back games, so just gotta learn, see some video, and get better.
Can you take us to your goal?
Yeah, we got a power play there, got a couple looks there, then I think I made the pass to Donna there in the middle, and Bert made a nice effort there, and just empty net for me.
Could you have imagined when you were a kid coming into this league and you'd have 500 points?
Yeah, I would never think about it. I just, when I came to the league, I just tried to play game by game and enjoy the ride. So it is pretty special. Makes me think, been here for a while, I guess. Still feel young, but feels good though.
What do you look for on this road trip? How do you get things back on track?
It's going to be a big one for us. We need to get together as a group and find our game, have some fun on the ice. When we play hard, we play simple. That's going to be fun out there. So it's going to be hard working games.
Is it a challenge in any way when you have a player like Seth, a leader on this team, you know, go public a trade request? Does that affect the room in any way?
No, not really. That's his thing, and he's going to play hard every night here. So this doesn't really affect anything. There's different situations, of course. We haven't played good this year, so that's what happens.
Thanks, man.
Thanks. All right, that was Blackhawks forward Teuvo Teravainen talking about the loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Tyler Bertuzzi also spoke to the media. He faced his former Maple Leafs team, picked up 2 assists in this game, logged a 1 shot attempt, had 1 hit as well, 17:35 of ice time. That's another multi-point performance for Bertuzzi, who actually went 7 straight games without recording a point, I believe. So nice to see him produce back in the win in the point column. Let's listen in and hear what he. And I think we're having a little bit of an issue, so I'm gonna punt on Tyler Bertuzzi here in a little bit. Tough loss overall by the Blackhawks. As I was looking at my notes prior to this, the Hawks led 6-0 in shots on goal to open the game, and so I thought it was a really solid performance by Chicago out of the gates. Very sloppy start in Columbus the night before, and so the start was going to be a priority for Chicago coming into this game. And so I thought they really won the first few minutes, even though they didn't capitalize on any of their chances until later in the period with 10.5 seconds left on a power play goal by Teravainen for his 13th goal of the season. I thought Chicago had a really strong first period. It was the second that where things tilted in Toronto's favor. They scored 3 consecutive goals. And how about the goal by Philip Kurashev at the very end of the second period? It was 8.1 seconds after the Nick Robertson second goal from Max Domi. And I mentioned this in the intermission, but Landon Slaggart had scored 7 seconds into the game against Florida, which was the fastest goal in franchise history to start a game. And so Kurashev scored 8.1 seconds right off of the faceoff. So it was 1 second away from being another really quick goal right off the faceoff for Chicago. I thought that might propel them into the third period, but unfortunately Toronto ended up getting the fourth goal, and it kind of felt like the dagger after that. It was off TJ Brody's skate, Chris Tanev. So, all right, I think we got Tyler Bertuzzi now. So let's hear what Bertuzzi had to say about the 5-2 loss to Toronto.
It's two rough games out of the break here. What has to change for the short trip?
Yeah, I mean, we just got to shake the rust off, and you know, we had a few stints of playing good tonight, and I guess we can build off heading into the road trip. We need to figure it out.
What happened in the second period?
We just weren't ready. Just slow, not connected, and we got to be a lot better.
Why is it that's been a common theme in the second period a lot this year? Why does that keep happening?
I wish we had an answer. We're trying to figure it out in here. I don't know what it is. Whether we got to play more simple and just grind it out in the second, and long change, we need to have better changes. But we're still trying to figure it out.
How tough is it to go on a long road trip like this, or is it a good time to have a road trip?
I think it's a good time to try to get back into things. I think we play a little bit better on the road, just more simple, and get to the point. I think it's going to be good for us.
With that connectedness as a team this far into the season, that's something that, what is leading to kind of like that disconnectedness?
I don't know. It comes within. We just got to be more on the same page. We got to talk more to each other, whether that's time or a little play to make, but we got to have a lot more talk, and we got to be more in sync.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Tyler Bertuzzi. We have more to get to here on the Blackhawks post-game show, including our save of the game, and also Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen spoke to the media just a little bit ago. I'm sure we'll get his thoughts on the offside challenge that didn't go Chicago's way, and also why Lucas Reichel didn't see the ice in the third period. That's coming up next right here on 720 WGN.
Marner, tap pass to Domi in the left wing corner. To Matthews, back in the net, to Domi, left corner to the high slot. Marner to Domi, top of the left wing circle, fires. Soderblom is down with a butterfly save and gloves the puck and holds it. A whistle will stop play now with 13:11 on the clock. 27 seconds left on the Leaf power play.
That was tonight's Save of the Game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/PoweringBiz. Arvid Soderblom started this game for Chicago. He came into this one with three career starts against the Maple Leafs, and in those three starts, he had a .926 save percentage. The one most notably that I thought of was the one last year in Toronto to open the season. He was spectacular in that game, and the Hawks purposely put Soderblom in net for the second game of this back-to-back because they liked the favorable matchup against Toronto. Not favorable as far as matchup goes between Columbus and Toronto, more so because they liked Soderblom's statistics against the Maple Leafs. And so he made 25 saves on 29 shots for an .862 save percentage. So that's obviously below his season average and also the average against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Joseph Woll, his counterpart, gave up only two goals on 27 shots for a .926 save percentage. Toronto now got the eighth best save percentage in the entire NHL with Woll and Anthony Stolar. So they got a nice 1-2 tandem going into the playoffs. And I can't remember the last time I said that about a Maple Leafs team, because goaltending has kind of been the Achilles heel trying to find that that true starter in the playoffs. And so I feel like if one of these two goaltenders gets hot for Toronto, they could make a run here. Obviously, with some other pieces as well, trying to add up front. But goaltending has been a real strength of the Toronto Maple Leafs. All right, let's go to Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen. I imagine one of the first questions asked was about the challenge. So let's get right into Sorensen after this 5-2 loss to Toronto.
Here, Pekel, that's awesome, huh? What a career! That's give him a lot of credit. That's a lot of games, and it's just awesome.
Two games out of the break here. I'm sure you're not too thrilled with how this weekend went. What has to change on this trip coming up?
Well, I think like anything else, right? There was pieces of this game we liked, and there was pieces that we didn't like. Right? So it wasn't it's not like it's six bad periods, right? So take the positives and build off of those, and then the stuff we got to clean up, let's clean it up.
Start off pretty hot in the first period, yep. The first six shots. What was the key to that, and then what happened in the second?
Well, I think the start was good, right? So we were on our toes, and we kind of made them defend, and we had some zone time there, and so that was real positive. That whole period was pretty good for us. And then in the second, I thought we were fine up to they scored on the power play, right? And then we kind of lost momentum there for a couple of shifts, but then towards the end, we kind of started tilting in the back again, and then they get that one, you know, quick break, and it's a 3-1, and then I thought Frankie made a heck of a play there to tie it up. So I think the second period shot-wise weren't great, but if you look at the actual ups and downs of the period, it wasn't that bad.
The Slagard, Bedard, Donato line, not their two best games. You need to shake that up a little bit?
We'll look at it.
And Lucas Reichel didn't play the last period and a half?
Yeah.
Coach's decision?
Yeah.
Anything in particular?
Didn't like his game.
What weren't you seeing from him that you wanted to see?
I'll talk to him about it.
On that Tanev goal that you, the one that you challenged.
No, I challenged empty netter.
It was, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, it's Holmberg. You're right. The Holmberg goal, the empty netter that you challenged. What did they, explain it to you? Because it seemed like it was offside, but did you have a better view of it?
Well, I mean, I think from our view, it looked like he carried it in and left it. But I guess, you know, the rule is, like, if he pushes it in and doesn't touch it, they can tag up. We didn't feel like it was a tag-up situation, but they did. And at that point, we had nothing to lose, right? So we figured we'd give it a shot and challenge it and go from there.
All right, that was Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen. That key thing at the very end is what Troy and I were talking about, where if it was an obvious Tavares was pushing the puck over the blue line and kind of waiting for William Nylander to tag up, you understood that the call would have been upheld and stayed as a goal. But the fact that it was kind of semantic, where it's basically like Tavares had possession of the puck as he was crossing over the blue line, and then when as the puck left his stick right when he entered the offensive zone, and then the puck retouched his stick, that's when William Nylander tagged up. It just didn't seem very intentional to me. And as you heard Sorensen say, they thought it was possession. And so feels like a gray area in the rule book that maybe by definition is probably the right call. But like we saw it in the playoffs a few years ago with the Cale Makar situation, and that was one that he did it so smoothly that you thought maybe, I don't know if he could have thought about doing that intentionally, but at least, I don't know, at least that felt a little bit more intentional versus the Tavares one where Nylander is literally behind Tavares. So there's no way of him even knowing that Nylander was offside and that he was waiting. So just kind of weird situation that I'm sure the Blackhawks are going to continue to look at and see if that could be challengeable or if they should challenge those similar plays. I thought the other thing that was noteworthy was Sorensen talking about Reichel and just saying he didn't like his game tonight. And they probably could have gone for a lot. The fourth line was really good in Columbus, but I'm looking at the fourth line numbers today. The shot attempts were 21-3 in favor of Toronto when the Maroon Reichel Smith line was on the ice at even strength, and the scoring chances were 12-1 in favor of Toronto as well. So that entire trio was not great, but obviously Sorensen saw something in Reichel's game that he didn't like, and so coach's decision to sit him. And so we'll see how Reichel responds on Tuesday against Utah and what types of conversations the Blackhawks are going to have with him. By the way, I would be a little surprised if the Blackhawks didn't make a call-up before tomorrow, because they currently have 12 forwards, only 12 forwards, with Jason Dickinson moved to IR, the only 12 healthy forwards. And usually when you're about to go on a three-game road trip, you want to have an extra body in, at both positions. So we'll see if the Blackhawks make some sort of call-up before they head to Utah tomorrow in the afternoon. Just something to watch moving forward. We got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Blackhawks post-game show after this on 720 WGN.
Kane on a breakaway. He could end it. He moves in. He shoots. He scores! Showtime ends this one in Detroit. Final score in overtime. Red Wings 5 and Anaheim 4.
Oh, yeah. You know who that is. Showtime Patty Kane. Credit to Ken Hall. Ken Cal of 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit. The Red Wings knocked off the Anaheim Ducks 5-4 in overtime. Patrick Kane had two goals and an assist, including the overtime winner. Detroit now has points in 10 of their last 11 games, so they are rolling as they try to keep playoff berths alive in the Eastern Conference. I think they're in a spot right now. I know Columbus was fighting for it as well, so nice to see Patty Kane playing some meaningful hockey in February for Detroit. Let's get to our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The Hawks are about to hit on a three-game road trip starting in Utah on Tuesday at Delta Center. The Utah Hockey Club are currently squaring off with the Vancouver Canucks right now late in the third period. Utah actually just took a 2-1 lead. Shots are 30-12 in favor of the Hockey Club. It's kicking off a four-game homestand for the Utah Hockey Club. Logan Cooley, he missed the last seven games with a lower body injury. He returned to the lineup in this game against Vancouver. He was a game-time decision, and he found the back of the net. So one of their top, I don't even know if it's still safe to call him a prospect, one of their top franchise cornerstones, Logan Cooley, back in the lineup for the Utah Hockey Club. Hawks have really struggled on the road since the opening month of the season. The first nine road games for Chicago, 4-4-1 with a -1 goal differential. In the last 19 road games, the Hawks are 2-14-3 with a -30 goal differential. So Chicago is looking to get back on track. One of those regulation losses early in the season was actually in Utah. It was the season opener for the Blackhawks. And so hopefully they can bounce back, hope for a different result this time. The Utah Hockey Club, they're 3-5-2 in their last 10 games, and all three of those wins are in overtime or a shootout, barring a potential regulation win in this game that they're facing against Utah. But they haven't had a regulation win since January 23rd which is a 4-0 shutout win over Minnesota. So if you're the Hawks, try to kick off this three-game road trip on a positive note in Utah. That's going to be an 8 p.m. Central puck drop on Tuesday. Blackhawks Hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. That's going to do it for the broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our on-site reporter of Jack Heinrich and our production crew of Patrick Hennessy and Tony DeNardis. They were led by our engineers, the Hall of Famer Paul Zerang here at the United Center, and our two captains back at the station, Krista Flores and Dan Long. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call from the United Center, I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 5-2 Blackhawks loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday night.